Good afternoon. This is your host, Michael J. Long. Long, L-O-N-G. It's March the 4th, 2019, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. Today, you know, if I had to make a prediction, if I was in charge of making predictions and I was to predict the future, I'd probably, you know, as far as the presidency and all that's concerned, with all that you have with the Democratic Party and all that you have with the Republican Party, I know Bill Weld is planning a primary challenge in the Republican Party against Donald Trump. But let's suppose that Donald Trump wins the nomination, which he probably will, because they'll probably rig it so that he gets in, just like they did against Ron Paul with Mitt Romney. And I suspect that if that does happen with Donald Trump, since he has become the standard bearer of the Republican Party and the GOP, that quite frankly, he's going to get reelected as it currently stands. And I'm not saying that because I'm not saying that to be an idiot or anything like that. I'm just saying that because that's reality, because at least when you look at the election outcomes, it's going to be 30, it's going to be at least around a ratio of 30 or 40%. So if you have, I mean, at least the election turnout is going to be at least 30 or 40%. So it's likely that a good majority out of the whole election outcome is probably going to vote for Donald Trump, because most of them are Republicans or whatever, the, you know, conservatives, whatever. And the Democratic Party does not really have anybody to persuade any of the independents, and it just looks likely that that'll be the case. And things could change between now and then, but I doubt it, because nobody wants anybody that is far leftist, even though they don't want someone who's also far to the far right. But between the two extremes, I think most people will probably side with Trump. He'll probably get reelected. But with that said, I am totally against what he's about. I'm against his the vast majority of his policies. And I really don't see a difference between what he's currently doing as President of the United States and what Barack Obama and all the garbage that he tried to push for in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, and during his reelection campaign in 2012. And I don't really see Donald Trump as being any more different than that, in that in both cases, they both support all these foreign wars and regime change, and, you know, and then you have the national debt. And let's not forget, when Obama took office, we had the Affordable Health Care Act get shoved down our throat, and Common Core and gun control and everything that you see that a lot of the liberals are pushing for in the Democratic Party, you're currently seeing it into an even greater extreme than before. Now, these people want, you know, late-term abortions approved, which I can get into a whole nother time or in a whole nother day. But at the height of it, they want to force people who don't believe in that kind of stuff to pay for it via tax dollars and stuff. And you're seeing a lot of that in similar ways with Trump. Maybe not on the abortion issue, but let's take a look at the fact that he wants regime change in Venezuela. He wants... Now, it's interesting how that story came about, because the opposition leader, which came close to winning but didn't make it, his predecessor got reelected, nonetheless. And now Donald and this opposition leader has now become a U.S. back leader and an excuse to try to install him against Madrillo, whatever his name is, and his socialist so-called regime in Venezuela. Now, whether you like socialism or not, and I don't agree with it, I think it's just a bunch of garbage. That guy got legitimately reelected over that in that country. And for us to then turn around and then install someone completely different, there's going to be unintended consequences to that. In that the opposition leader could do a lot of, you know, could commit a lot of bad policies just as much as the current leader is doing. And then are we prepared to have millions more people from that country come here illegally? That's what it's going to come down to. Every time we get involved in regime change or any of that kind of stuff comes about, that's where, you know, I mean, we've done this kind of stuff. That's where that's where you get your illegals from, the undocumented immigrants. You have people trying to flee third world dictatorial countries and gangs and violence. And a lot of these situations in Mexico and Latin America actually gets created when the United States, in a lot of situations, tries to commit regime change, and it's been going on for years. And so in both Democratic and Republican administrations, whether it be Clinton, Bush Sr., Bush, Clinton, Obama, it's been done in the Middle East, it's been done in Mexico and Latin America, it's been done around the world. But ultimately, I think it's time that the United States starts learning how to mind its business instead of trying to police the world and regime change and nation build and do all this kind of garbage that people like Donald Trump and John Bolton claim they support and want to do. It's going to come at the expense of billions of dollars in tax money. Not to mention that taxpayers have already been on the line for a border wall not approved by Congress, which now even Rand Paul is coming out and saying he's going to vote against in a resolution to oppose Donald Trump's latest move, power grab on the border wall with regard to his state of emergency national emergency declaration. And the idea is sort of to build this wall along the U.S.-Mexican border in this so-called prototype that him and some company came up with. But it's going to cost the taxpayers billions of dollars. Let's not forget about the North Dakota pipeline, which the taxpayers flipped the bill for another $63 billion. And then you have the gun stock. The gun stock ban, and he's promoted and pushed for liberal democratic states like New York State and others. He's allowing them to push for their gun control ban or gun control regulations and laws that he himself has refused to challenge in the courts, and that the courts won't even pick up unless he challenges it. And it's sad that we have to wait for some president that we elect to get the ballpark moving, as if the courts can't even exercise their own discretion of power. With that said, I want a reduction in federal government powers, and I want a reduction in state government powers, and I want, overall, people to be left alone when it comes to these sorts of decision making. I don't think that, for instance, we should be providing corporate welfare to the corporations and then imposing and then taking people's land to the power of eminent domain and acid fortitude for the drug war, which I feel should end, but yet Donald Trump and Barack Obama have been big supporters of. And then plus, Trump also with regards to Cuba, doesn't want to lift the embargo that we've through Congress, or doesn't want to get Congress to lift the international embargo on Cuba that actually I think Kennedy put in place, if I'm not mistaken. If not him, maybe Carter. I'd have to go back and research that. But I think it's quite obvious that we are becoming a totalitarian state, and our government is increasingly becoming authoritarian when you consider those issues at stake. And so this is probably why I reduce, that's why I favor a reduction in government powers, because I feel that government serves best when it is reduced and within its mere powers enumerated by the Constitution. And it's one thing to have like Medicaid, Medicare, and CHIPS, but we're talking about, you know, corporate welfare and war with other countries. And a lot of times, a lot of these wars are not even declared by Congress. But so that just goes to show you the executive branch of the presidency and how authoritarian and how big, how much expansion has been going on within the executive branch. And I think we have more federal government agencies than we know what to do with. And the budgets and we're in crisis. We're $22 trillion in debt, and it isn't just because we borrow money from other countries and go to war and all that. It's also because we print money out of thin air through the Federal Reserve, through the IRS, and we tax like crazy and we spend like crazy, and there's a lot of absurdity in that. I could go on and on and on, but I think the solutions are quite obvious. That is, reduce the powers of the local, state, county, and state and federal governments that I think should be reduced. And then by doing so, then the direction of the government should be step out of the way as much as possible, and empower individuals to be making most of these decisions, if not, you know, on their own, and, you know, stuff like that. Because the ultimate goal of government is mainly to protect the civil liberties and the rights of others. And enabling an environment where they can freely, where people can be free, and that sort of, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.